إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين، فاللهم جازي عنا خير الجزاء. ونصلي ونسلم على كل الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى كل الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعلى كل العشرة المبشرين بالجنة، وعلى كل الصحابة الكرام رضوان الله عليهم، وعلى كل أمهات المؤمنين، وعلى كل التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وعلى كل علماء المسلمين وأئمة المسلمين ومجاهد المسلمين وفقهاء المسلمين. لا إله إلا الله عدد ما أحصاه علمه، لا إله إلا الله عدد كلماته، لا إله إلا الله عدد خلقه، لا إله إلا الله زينة عرشه، لا إله إلا الله مثل ذلك معه، والله أكبر مثل ذلك معه، والحمد لله مثل ذلك معه. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the Most Merciful, the Most Beneficent, the All-Knowing, the All-Hearing, the Most Gracious, the Guide. We ask Him, the Almighty, to have mercy on us, to guide us, to forgive us, to bless us, to unite our hearts for the sake of no one but Him, Azza wa Jal. We invoke His blessings and peace upon His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all prophets, all messengers, all the companions, all the guided caliphs, all the followers of them, and whoever follows their footsteps. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to forgive them. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. If you are walking on a thorny place, land, where you have thorns, ashwak, and you want to move from location A to location B, and between location A and location B, there are thorns, ashwak. What you do, you try to be on guard so that you do not get injured. And you try to be very, very careful walking on that land. Sayyiduna Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu gave us a definition of taqwa. And he said, it's as if you're walking on this thorny land where you have thorns, ashwak. And so you try to be on guard. You try to be very, very careful on every single step you're taking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the English interpretation, all you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it has been prescribed for the people before you, so that you acquire taqwa. And so the verse starts with iman and it ends with taqwa. In other words, if we want to simplify it more, it's like a bridge that you cross from iman into another station, which is taqwa. And so this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ni'mah, this favor, this great month called Ramadan, the fourth pillar of Islam, is meant for you to graduate into the levels of righteousness, and to strengthen your iman in a way that will put you in the process of acquiring taqwa, in a process where you are on guard when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and restraining from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with. The son of this great Khalifa, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, his son, Abdullah ibn Umar, who was known by the good one, the son of the good one, who embraced Islam before being 10 years old. One day, he was reading verses in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, and he reached the one that says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The day when people stand before the sustainer of the world. And he repeated it over and over and over again until he fainted. Until he fainted. And why is that? You see, people ask, why were those people great? With very little resources, right? No oil field, nothing. Very little resources. And so they were so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them support, help, victory. And they were able to spread this mercy all over the world. This is the question that we want to ask and answer. And part of the answer is the consistent and continuous and regular reminding of Al-Akhir, the hereafter, the last death, the last in life, the real life, because of which we're here. It's not the other way around. We're here for that life. And so they understood it well, that they were not there for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create them for this dunya. And so, subhanAllah, he read that verse, and he repeated again and again until he fainted. The day when people or men shall stand before the sustainer of their worlds. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And so this taqwa, and it has many definitions, one of which given by Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And you combine it with this mention of the Akhirah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this month, which is a gift, to improve, increase our iman, and redesign our lives to prepare for that very same day, because of which Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar repeated again and again in the verse to the extent that he fainted. The question now is, we know the great blessings of Ramadan, Shahrun Azim. How do we take advantage of it? How do you take advantage of Ramadan? What are the practical steps that you want to take so that you fully benefit from Ramadan? Number one is to understand the idea behind Ramadan. It's a training. It's a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects me to train myself, to purify my heart, to become closer to Him. Number two is to take it serious. It's not why it's the month of Ramadan. Do we have enough food? Do we have the necessary food for it? Necessary things for it? Ramadan is coming, Ramadan is going, we're gonna have feasts and so on. That's not what it is. It's meant to purify myself. And so if we exalt this month, which is Shahr al-Quran and Shahr al-Azim, if we really exalt it and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His gift, how much do you prepare for it? How much preparations do you have right now? Or is it just like any regular month that comes and go with some traditions, and then Ramadan leaves and we are in the same state of taqwa, same state of iman? And so we want to get ready for it, especially with the heart. With the heart. It's to say to yourself, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a great month and I want to take it really, really serious. And this is meant for me, and so I want to really exalt this month. And be happy about it. You see, when you have a wedding, or one of your family members is getting married, especially if it's your child, your brother, your son, how much time do you spend to prepare for that event? One night, sometimes. It's only one night event. How much time do you spend? How much money do you spend? How much concentration and effort do you put in it? And you're so happy about it. And that's good. We want to be happy about our brothers and sisters celebrating their marriage and aqiqah and all of those things. But when it comes to a month, a 30-day period, a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very little preparation. Maybe a lot of preparation about food and menus. There's nothing wrong with the food. It should be just a meal. So that's number two, preparation for it. By heart. And part of it is dua. Ask yourself, how much dua have you made just for Ramadan now? Oh Allah, help me to take advantage of this month. As you make dua, when you have a marriage, or you have a wedding, or you have an event, you keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless it. And it's recommended to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless it. And you ask people, please make dua for me. This is a really special, very important event in my family members, for my family members. Number three, this is the month of the Qur'an. أُنزِلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. That's the month of Ramadan when the Qur'an was sent. And so if there's anything that you want to put in number one in your list, that would be the Qur'an. قِرَاءَةً تَدَبُّرًا حِفْظًا وَتَبْلِيغًا وَتَعَلُّمًا وَتَعْلِيمًا. It's to read the Qur'an or recite the Qur'an if you have some memorization. Memorize some of the Qur'an. Study the Qur'an. Teach something that you learn from the Qur'an. In one of the hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you are those who learn the Qur'an, study it and teach it. Next one. Prayer on time and in the masjid. The second pillar of Islam. And if my prayer is not on time, without excuses, then we have a really serious disaster. Prayer. As-salah, the last thing the Prophet ﷺ recommended in his deathbed. As-salah. And this is the month to train yourself. We have barakah. You have rahmah. You have mercy. You have all of these faces of Muslims going to the mosque. Why not me also? To train myself so that when Ramadan leaves, now, if I do not go to the mosque, pray my five times a day, in the masjid, in the mosque, before Ramadan, this is the time to train myself. If I do not pray all of them on time, at home, then this is the time to train myself to move from that station, that state, where I do not pray my five times on time, to a state where I now pray my five times, my five daily prayers on time. And one of the great things about Islam that we have to remind ourselves, and especially for people who are new to Islam, that we want to tell them and give them the tithing, that there is something called tadarruj in Islam. Gradual progress. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not expect you to be a perfect angel. But as long as you have that intention in your heart, and this is between you and God the Almighty, if you have your intention and you put yourself in a process of purification, then sooner or later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, will make you closer to Him. But you have to take that first step. Prayer on time and in the masjid. The next one, there are so many, so I forgot the numbers. The next one is the night prayer. Qiyamul Layl. And part of Qiyamul Layl is Taraweeh. Taraweeh is just Qiyamul Layl also. And the son of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that we're talking about today, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, one time the Prophet ﷺ told his sister, who is Ummuna, our mother, Hafsa radiallahu anhu, that's his sister, who is the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. He told her, the Prophet ﷺ, what a blessed man, the son of Umar, Abdullah Umar, in the meaning of the hadith, in English, it's British. What a blessed man. Should he pray the night prayer, he will be blessed more. The time he heard that, Abdullah ibn Umar, the time he heard that, he never abandoned Qiyamul Layl, whether at home or during a journey, a traveling, while traveling, from that day. Qiyamul Layl, seeking Allah's forgiveness. Al-Mustaghfirina bil Ashab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those people of taqwa in the Quran. One of their characteristics, they seek Allah's forgiveness in al-ashar, waqtu as-sahar, the time, last part of the night. And Ramadan is the best one to do it. To make dhikr, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that night, that last portion of the night. To ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, to pray before Him. And that's how you acquire faith and iman. And this is purification of the heart. And this is what Ramadan is meant for. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us get ready for this month, this great month, and to benefit from to benefit fully from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Verily, He is able to do all things. We just have to ask Him for it, to work on it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us to accomplish it. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. One of the great imams of this ummah, Sheikh Ghazali رحمه الله, he lists three types of fasting people and try to see in which one of these you are. The first type is of that person who fasts, only two things fast for that person. And that is the stomach and the genitals. That's the food, drinks, and sexual intercourse with one's spouse. That's one type of fasting people. And yeah, that's the many people fall into that category. The second one, you add something else. And that is fasting of the tongue, fasting of the ear, tongue. Restrain your tongue. You replace the vain talks with the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, with the tabligh of the word of Allah, conveying the message of Islam of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, with reading the Qur'an, memorizing the Qur'an, studying the Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an. So fasting of the tongue, you train yourself. Fasting of the ear, try to avoid any backbiting or listening to something that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will be displeased with. Fasting of the eye, very difficult. Right? Lower one's gaze. Ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala help us to do it, especially in this environment. That's the second type. There's another one. Third type of fasting people. And that's what you get into righteous. And that's fasting of the heart. Fasting of even the thought system. That your whole being, your whole heart. Now I'm talking about this and I do not claim it. I'm just sharing it with you, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He helps all of us to really reach that status. The status of the Prophet, I know of course no one can reach the status of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he's our model, he's our example. Making dhikr 24 hours a day. Even while sleeping, his heart doesn't stop of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent when he goes to the bathroom, you see, when you leave from the bathroom, what do you say? We're supposed to say one word. One word. And that is ghufrana. Ghufrana, which comes from maghfirah. Oh Allah, forgive me. And part of the wisdom behind that, that we know, is the reason the Prophet ﷺ would do that because he cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the bathroom. It's not an appropriate place. And so because he missed that time, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make dhikr, when he leaves the bathroom, Allah forgive us. And so, this third type of fasting, fasting of the heart, fasting of the thoughts. You know, you have a lot of whispering to shaitan, sometimes you just cannot control it. Even while standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have some evil thoughts from shaitan. And you try, where is this coming from? Because the immune system, not the physical one, the Iman one, it has some cracks in it from where shaitan gets in. And so we want to work on those cracks. We want to close those doors as much as we can. And the best time is Ramadan, the training time. And so this third type of fasting is the fasting of the heart, fasting of the thoughts. That even you're thinking, you're thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even your heart is just remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Avoid evil thoughts. Avoid anything that it puts you in the dunya, the desires. Doesn't mean that you give up dunya. You see, in Islam, this is really interesting. In Islam, we do not say give up dunya. Give up the world. No. Dunya is your bridge. And Allah has put us to test us. So we have to be involved in this worldly life. To be the best as a means for us to the hereafter. And study this, the lives of the companions. Right? They were excellent people in their own daily life. What you give up is, you just add one word. And that's one of all the prophets. You give up the love of the dunya. Not the dunya. You take that worldly life, that dunya, and put it in your hand. You get it out of your heart. You put it in your head. And you fill your heart with what? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love. With the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the love of His Messenger. With the love of everything that brings you closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, we always, usually, when Ramadan approaches, we talk about the mechanical part of it. And that's something I want to mention in the end of my khutbah, which is very, very important. Part of the practical steps. Try your best to stick to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in fasting and to his recommendations. To hasten in breaking your fast, ta'jilu al-fitr, ta'khir al-suhur, to delay the suhur. These are the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And we want to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we really mean it when we say, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Is that something by tongue? No. You declare it. That you say, wa anna Muhammadan. What does that mean? That is the messenger of God. Whatever message, messenger, message he brings to us, that's what we need to do. But you have to put yourself in that process. And so it's also important to focus on the mechanical part of it. The recommendations of the Prophet ﷺ. In the suhoor, the iftar, to hasten, to rush into the iftar, break it as soon as possible, don't delay it, don't delay the suhoor, it's the opposite, you delay the suhoor. Right? Be careful in your wudu, not too much water into your mouth. These are just examples. The qiyamul layl, or taraweeh, one because I mentioned. But I just wanted to focus on the spirit of Ramadan in my khutbah. And that's exactly the reason. That Ramadan is a mean for your akhirah, for your hereafter. And we are brothers and sisters of the akhirah. Yes, in this dunya. But we're really brothers and sisters of the akhirah. Ikhwan fil akhirah. Because we're heading towards there. You see, we're going there. Whether you like it or you don't like it, we're just going there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best just how much is left. And so, we really need to take things serious, to have a program. And if it comes from your heart, know for sure Allah ta'ala will find ways for you. And it will help you. If Allah knows that you have good in your heart, Allah ta'ala will give you good. But if you do not take it serious, it just like any other month, just have some fun, eat food, go to Taraweeh as a traditional habit, then I would ask Allah Ta'ala to help us and to help you to rectify your understanding of the pillars of Islam so that you fully benefit from it. And there is nothing whatsoever better than the message of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to His creation. We ask Him Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to be a servant, to be servants of Him Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We ask Him Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for the right understanding of His pillars, for the spirit of His pillars, for the soul of His spirit, for the wisdom behind His pillars of Islam. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to take advantage of this Ramadan so that we acquire and attain the righteousness and we acquire and attain piety and so become closer to Him. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to take advantage of this month so that we reform and redesign our life and we prepare for the hereafter, for the lasting month. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in fasting and in observing the month of Ramadan. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to rectify our character and our behavior with our spouses, with our family, with our friends, with the non-Muslims, with our brothers and sisters. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to make this month a means for us to rectify our khuluq. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all the Muslims all over the world, to help them to get more understanding. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to help and to support all the mujahideen all over the world who are striving for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with them. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them patience and to give patience to their families. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us more guidance. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom and the understanding to bring and to take this message of mercy to non-Muslims. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite our hearts under the banner of La ilaha illallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.